episode 134 of the Hunting Party Podcast. This is Euripides from WoW Insider, out DPS and Call to Auction.
And I'm Darkwing from thebrewhall.com and thebrewhall on Twitter.
And this is Frostheim from Warcraft Hunters Union, WoW Insider, and Frostheim WHU on Twitter.
And I'm Molly Saunder from the Hunting Party Podcast and the Call to Auction Podcast.
Not that other podcast? Did that other podcast go away?
Torlor?
It's still going. Around. I just haven't had any time. But I figure if Euripides can claim he did a call to auction, surely I can too.
Oh, my ego. I did do a call to auction. It was, I think I may have made some sort of joke before we just stepped right into it and started talking about the auction house. But, I'm just like, welcome to the bi-yearly installment or something like that. I forget what I said. Anyways.
All right, well, if you're joining us for the live show but aren't registered, but you want to participate in the chat room, just go to the little chat window, and today you're going to type in, don't step on my crows, and you're going to be prompted to register. And, of course, we'll elaborate on that later.
Speaking of the live chat room, we are joined today by Akator, Avarice, Aspects, Awesome Grebe, Bad Language, BM Jager, Chucks Hunter, Darva, Ilapide, Fogarty, Foxtrap05, Get the Gobo, Great Dane 72, Grier, Havtor, Induates, Isuldrian, JC Sway, Jerl 5, Llewellyn, McPherson WHU-1, not to be confused with McPherson WH2, other ones, Monster Mike, Mullingrew, Primok, Scobzrilla, Scruffy, Tixwaga, that was just deliberate, Warvinny, and Woody 9212.
At least half of these are me logged in with, like, ridiculously hard to pronounce names.
And as always, your lovely moderator, Ollie Saunder, who will take your questions today. Just send them to her in a PM, and she's going to rank your questions, determine what order they get asked, and since we have a lot of ground to cover, which ones will actually get asked, based on your idea for what the next Hunter song should be about. What should the next Hunter song be about? Or what should the title of the next Hunter song be? Inquiring minds want to know. Tell Ollie Saunder right now.
Fascinating.
Indeed.
I have some ideas, but they're not fully fleshed out, so I'm going to let them wait until we're offline.
I'm just excited that there's another Hunter song potentially in the works here.
Let me say potentially and not certainly, and further let me say I am also excited to hear Euripides' ideas, although I'm happy to wait until it's fully fleshed.
Okay, now before we do that, though, we need to know, is there any kind of song that Balthazar refuses to do? Like, how does he feel about, say, torch songs or Irish drinking songs?
Well, here's the thing, right?
Dubstep?
Well, here's the thing, right? Balthazar is like Balthazar. You gotta understand. Balthazar's full-time day job is sound design and doing music scores to like plays, or I think right now he's doing some like educational cartoon score. So he by profession sets aside any sense of taste that he might personally have, and and does what he's told to do, or rather what he's paid to do. I think if I go to him, like I said, this isn't a surefire thing, although he's coming over right after the podcast, this is exactly what we're going to be talking about. But if we can make it happen, yeah, you know, he's going to do the song that we tell him to do.
We have to totally make some sort of Sporebat dubstep.
I don't know what a dubstep is.
Well, then you're a lucky man.
You're saying it's a horrible thing, but that's what we need to do?
it's kind of like new electronica, I guess. Anyways, we can discuss it after. I'm not, like I said, 100% sure on my ideas yet. I'm going to let them fester for a little while. But do you guys want to do the announcements? We do have a lot of stuff to cover.
We do have a lot of stuff to cover. So the top of the announcements, actually the only announcement, is the next WHU All-Hunter Raid, 25-man All-Hunter Raid, is tonight.
And I'd like to clarify that unlike Dark Rue and I's mostly Hunter 25-man raids, yeah, which happen every week, are filled up with mostly Hunters but do have a few support classes in them, this one has nothing but Hunters, and it's completely different.
Yes.
Yeah, and just so you know, last time, 2 weeks ago, we did take down the Omnitron Defense Council, so that was Defense System, and so that was, you know, sure, it was earlier content, but that was an involved encounter where we actually got to use a lot of different items in the Hunter toolbox. But, yeah, the next one is tonight. We're planning on, I believe the plan is to take some swings at, what's his face?
Oh, okay.
The big worm, Magma.
Oh, Magma.
Okay. Take some swings at Magma, because we really want to go on to Atromedes, which we're 100% certain that we're going to be able to take down. If it turns out we can't take down Magma, we're just going to, we have some, like, actual, like, hunters on, or healers on standby. We'll swap in some healers. Get rid of Magma, switch back to all hunters, and then make our move into Atromedes, and then probably Meloriac, maybe. Here's the rough thing, and this breaks my heart. I cannot make it to the raid tonight. I have an obligation that I can't get out of. But Arthamystia is going to be running and recording it, so we will have video of the takedown. Like I said, no matter what, another boss is going down, because I'm totally confident Atromedes can easily be done.
My question is, are you recording these, and are you going to put them up, because I really want to see that.
Absolutely. Arth is going to record it. Arth is going to put up a video of it. It's going to go on the WHU probably Monday, assuming he can get that video put together quickly enough. Because, yeah, it's there's going to be at least one more world first, possibly multiple. So if you can make it, you really want to be there. It'll be a big deal. Also, the next one, I talked to Arth, the next one's probably not going to be for a month. So if you make this one, yeah, if you can make this one, you should. It's going to be at 5 p.m. Ice Crown server time, which is 6 p.m. real time, which is to say central time, central daylight time. And other times that are less central, it'll be different.
7 p.m., I would say.
I have no clue. What is Ice Crown on? Is it on Eastern? Is that an Eastern
mountain
time?
It's Mountain Time, actually.
It's Mountain Time.
Yeah, so it's 7 Eastern.
So at any rate, it should be sweet. Head on over. But we got a lot of news to cover, so I say we jump into that.
Sure. Well, I'll read the first item here. Apparently, they're starting raid testing. And,
hello!
Yep.
Yeah, you said that you called that you think it's going to happen this summer, and apparently, as the note says, this is a strong sign that soon may actually be soon.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little soon,
yeah,
TM.
Raid testing is sort of your indication that we're in the later stages of the beta. And I can't imagine a situation in which they're going to raid test for 3 months or something, right?
No, I agree. I think it's going to if I had to guess the release, I'm going to say after Labor Day. Maybe that first Tuesday, second Tuesday after Labor Day would be when I would think it would be now.
Well, my understanding, though, is that they still have to put out the actual, you know, the patch, the pre-patch that won't increase the eye level. Sorry, exactly. That won't increase the level limit. That's got to hit the PTR.
Right, and that hasn't happened yet. And that's my...
Yeah, that won't happen until... that certainly won't happen until they have a chance to do raid testing. But another strong indication we got is Zarum, I don't know how you pronounce his name.
Zarum, I guess.
Posted on the forums like, hey, you know, one thing that we always talk about in the beta is don't sweat too much over the numbers. It's like, well, we're now at the point where we want to hear what you think about the numbers. So if there's any theory crafters, please post. And specifically, this was a call out for theory crafters. This was really funny because like a bunch of people were like emailing me and Twittering me and commenting like, oh, you know, that's for theory crafters. Are you going to go on there? And I'm like, I better start running the numbers. I better start running the numbers. And then what happens 2 days later? Here's a new patch that changes some of the abilities that you've been number crunching. That was just a big screw you. I was not pleased about that, but
my
yes,
dinosaur is nodding in approval.
But you know, you're gonna need some clarification because that sounds really dirty if you don't know what you're really talking about.
Oh, it's on Twitter. It's all the clarification you're getting.
I've gotten in trouble for putting that kind of stuff on Twitter.
It's my little attempt to try and man up my podcasting environment. I have two toy dinosaurs here on a princess pink table. That's very small. It's kind of ridiculous.
So my point is that's another indication that we're in the later stages of the beta where they're like, okay, well now let's talk about precise balance of DPS. You know, we're in the final refinement stages rather than the crazy big giant, and we're going to give you a new ability stages. So yeah, I mean, I think late summer, you know, I was originally predicting like July. I think that's looking less and less likely, but I think late summer is still looking good.
I like the fact that they've reached out to the community now to say, hey, give us your thoughts on the numbers. What is your feedback? And they've, you know, kind of embraced this sort of feedback. And maybe they've done it in the past, but I don't remember that where they've explicitly, like, sort of put out this call to action.
It went straight from don't worry to we've got this. Like, it went straight from nothing's final yet to everything being final with, it felt like, very little interaction. Like, they were, I think what ended up hitting the live servers, at least in the last two patches, was considerably different than what was on the beta. There was a bunch of things that had not been implemented in beta that were there when they pushed it to live. So
yeah, so they had a couple of substantial changes that came out. One of them that everybody was happy about was Killshot. Killshot, if you guys were, what was it doing? Was it doing like 125 or 150 on live?
What we used to say? We used to say it was like almost equivalent to like an arcane shot
right.
at this point.
Right. And so what they did is in beta, they reduced the amount of weapon damage portion of the shot formula for almost every shot. But then they increased the amount of damage that weapons do, and this had the effect of fixing some DPS issues at lower levels while leaving it the same at higher levels. And they did that. The exact same weapon in beta does way more DPS raw damage than anything else. But so Killshot, even though that got reduced, it was effectively doing the same damage on live, which was like an arcane shot. It was lame. Well, now they're saying Killshot is going to do 300% weapon damage rather than 85%. And the coefficient, which is 75% of RAP, is the same. But that base damage part went way up. And this was really, really exciting. I have to say, I was playing around with this morning right before the podcast on the beta. Still not terribly exciting. It's like 1.5 times an arcane shot. As I was playing around with this with Marksman, it was maybe 60% of the damage that Chimera shot does.
But still, considering it's free and you can reset it with it, can you still reset it with a glyph?
No, it's built into the ability now.
It's built in. It's built in without the glyph. The reset is automatic. There's like a 6-second cooldown between resets. But
you get 2 free kill shots as soon as they hit 20%.
Correct.
Yeah,
there does appear
the fact that there's 60% of a Chimera shot. It's pretty important. That's pretty damn awesome, in my opinion.
Sure, for 2 global cooldowns and no focus, you get more damage than a Chimera shot. But it's still, I don't know. I still think it's a little weaker than it should be.
Maybe for raiding, but for PvP, that's when it counts. It's when you've run out of focus and then your teammate gets the guy down to below 20%. You're like, oh, now what? Well, the answer is kill shot.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there.
Like, oh, great.
Yeah, for PvP, I think it's going to be great. For raiding, there's still going to be issues of, like, dude, I'm going to be focus capping if I hit 2 kill shots.
That's true. The base focus is higher, so maybe this will be even less of an issue for PvP.
So the other major change that happened, which was the big kind of FU that I'm baffled over, and I actually just started re-crunching the numbers on this, but I didn't get very far, is Murder of Crows. Murder of Crows, if you'll recall, was originally, if you used it on a target that was below 20% health, the cooldown was reset. And then they changed it and went, okay, that's a little crazy, that's a little abusive, particularly in leveling and probably PvP as well. So instead, we're just going to reduce the cooldown to 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the big change they made now is they changed the cooldown from 60 seconds to 2 minutes. So they literally halved how often you can use Murder of Crows. And now if you use it on a target below 20% health, the cooldown is reduced to 1 minute. This is lame.
Yeah, it sounds very lame. And I think you mentioned it in your blog earlier this week that, you know, the opportunities to use that in a raid situation are going to be few and far between, if at all, right? To take advantage of that.
It's something that you're going to have to time with all the other things that you want to stack this with. I'm going to assume we're going to want to stack this with heroism. And we're probably not going to get to use it more than twice a fight. And I don't know of many bosses that will be below 20% for... this might give a little bit of flexibility of playstyles in the sense that if you have an add and you know that the add needs... I mean, because the crows are going to go on your next target, even if whatever you're fighting dies, right? So if the ad's down to 20%, maybe you should try and save crows for the ad, and then they'll go back to the boss when you do kind of thing.
Excellent point. If you're in a single-target boss fight, I think you're using this once. Because, frankly, you know, heroism or ancient hysteria and all that stuff is usually blown on the poll. And which, you know, there's some logic to that, because that's also kind of like anybody who has a proc is always going to have it within like the first 10 seconds. But I mean, there's very few fights where you have the boss under 20% health for more than a minute, you know, because that's when everybody's, you know, pumping out their stuff and, you know, the kill shots mm-hmm. are going off and the executes or whatever. So it's, yeah, I do think Euripides has a really, really good point, though, that, you know, if there's like ads that come out, like, yeah, switch to the ad to get Murder of Crows off so that it can head over to the boss once that ad's down. I think that's a really, really smart use of the ability. But in your standard boss fight, you know what? But make it 30 seconds.
Why do we call it the standard, why a minute? Though? Why do we call it the standard boss fight, though? We don't have a standard boss fight.
Yeah, we do.
We get one per tier on average that is single target, just pure sheer DPS. Then we always call it the patchwork, because that was the one that everybody was most familiar with.
Well, we have
right now it's Eltraxian.
Yeah, but we have a lot that are single target
and more chalk
fights.
Yeah, but, you know, there's a lot of... Yeah, that's true, and more chalk. But there's always, Hagara. You know... but even Hagara has ads.
You do have the ice tombs, right?
And you also have the electricity ad, and you have the little blocks on the side. And the point is, there's very few fights where you have literally only one target. So in its current form, this is not going to be completely useless and nonsensical. Like, you know, why bother reducing the cooldown at all if you're under 20%? I suspect that in the over half of the fights that we're going to see in the per tier, we're going to have an opportunity to benefit from this. But I don't think that it's necessarily low enough. I think I would prefer a more frequently used ability that had maybe less damage, if that's what they have to do to get it back down to 1 minute.
Well, except that it's competing with the Dire Beast talent, which is on a 30-second cooldown, does damage, and restores some focus every time that...
And it's a decent amount now. And here's the big thing, right? When it first came out, and I actually... did all the theory crafting on the abilities when they first came out, and Murder of Crows was just better than Dire Beast, which was called Beast back then. But then they buffed Dire Beast substantially. They increased the duration so that you got an extra attack, so I think you get 7 attacks from your Beast. Your Beast appears right behind him, and instead of generating 2 focus per attack, it now generates 5 focus per attack. And, you know, so that's it's like, hey, okay, well, now you're going to get 40 focus off of hitting this cooldown, which, by the way, doesn't have a cost, and Murder of Crows does cost 60 focus. And so, you know, that buff, that substantial buff to Dire Beast, it was like, ooh, okay, those are that decision is getting a little interesting. And then they basically cut Murder of Crows in half by making his cooldown 2 minutes. Now, what I haven't done yet is I have not seen if they increase the damage that the
crows... I was about to say, because everything you just described, if they tripled the damage, I'd be fine with that. All of a sudden, you go to something that hits really, really hard. It's a little harder to manage. But the other thing is, when you think of a hunter... I mean, the class design is going to be based at least a little bit on what the archetype is supposed to be, and you don't think of somebody who's just constantly summoning stream after stream of crows to go after someone. Sure. This is the kind of ability that you expect to see once in a while, maybe once or twice a fight, and an extremely talented hunter, maybe, you know, every time that an ad dies.
Sure, and, you know, I'll be fine with it if it turns out they buffed it. I started doing some testing, but I didn't get far enough to say anything conclusive. As I recall, when I tested it before, the crows were hitting for like 4% RAP plus base. And so, you know, I'm going to compare and see what it is. It's a little funky to calculate because it's physical damage, so you have to take armor into account to figure out what the actual coefficients are. But yeah, I mean, if they boosted the damage, I'd be okay with it. I still think reducing that cooldown to 1 minute is lame. Make it 30 seconds. I'm okay with that.
I think I would prefer to have triple damage, but less frequently used, personally. But that's just it's a moot point unless they actually make the change. And if they don't make any changes, we'll just all use Dire Beast because it's more damage.
Yeah, good point. And you can use that every 30 seconds.
Every 30 seconds, yeah. I think Dire Beast, yeah, looks like it might be becoming the PvE choice at the moment here. And then, and poor Lynx Rush, I guess, is just just going to sit there unused.
If that is the case, I suspect they will change something. So it's just a matter of waiting.
So Fervor was also buffed, and if you recall, Fervor's competing with Thrill of the Hunt and Readiness.
Yes.
And really, really, it's Readiness, because Readiness is, you know, in a raid situation, Readiness is usually an extra rapid fire which is a tough thing to compete with, but it's also so flexible. There's so many different potential uses for readiness. And so Fervor was buffed, and I believe it's a 30-second cooldown now, so that it restores 50 focus to you and your pet every 30 seconds.
Every 30 seconds?
I know, right? Right? It's
that means if you have this,
yes,
this is going to completely change our rotations. We're going to be trying to...
Except they just made it tougher.
Why?
Now, it restores 50 focus to you and your pet, and it restores an additional 50 focus over the next 10 seconds.
So that means for every 30-second period, 10 seconds, we will have 50 focus per second, or 50 focus being generated as sort of a focus over time, and we'll also have an additional 50. So basically, our rotation, if we have this ability, is going to be try and bleed down your focus so that you're completely out by the time that you're ready to use this, use it, and then bleed your focus as quickly as possible.
Right, it's going
to
be signature shot, arcane, signature shot, arcane. And this is going to be a complicated talent for marksmen. I have a feeling marksmanship, yes. When marksmanship hits fervor, they're going to be like, dude, you're just going to be focus capped if you're trying to maintain your...
Right.
Your God, what is it? Improved or your focus fire? What's it called
steady,
now?
I don't know.
Focus fire.
Steady
I think.
Shot, but I
think
I
it's focus
it's
fire.
Too.
It's gonna be so hard not to say improved steady shot, but try. And
yeah, but even then, 15% haste on your auto attacks. You know, the real reason to do that is so that you can afford to cast faster steady shots, but like which will help you regenerate focus faster. But if you are focused capped, then the loss of that 15% haste means basically the loss of 15% of your auto shot damage. Because the only exposure our damage has to haste is focus regen, steady shot cast time, and auto shot haste.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you're marksman and you let your focus fire buff drop, it's not just your auto shot that you're losing. We have yet to see whether we're going to be including aim to the rotation. But regardless, you know, you'll bleed your focus back down, and then you have to cast your two steadies to get the buff back up, and those two steadies are also going to be then casting much slower. And if this is happening every 30 seconds, okay, that starts to become an interesting trade-off.
Mm. Yeah, well, that would certainly make the math more complex, but at that point, I think
it
will just
Lord,
be...
Good Lord, will it ever.
Yeah, just hitting buttons as quickly as possible. Post-haste. Now, sorry, one last question. I'm a bit of a bad memory today. What is Thrill of the Hunt 2 again?
There's the chance of restoring focus on a crit. Yes. For certain shots.
Okay.
It's okay. A survival talent now.
I see. So post-haste now frees us from all movement impairing effects.
Which
goodness
is
gracious. Awesome. I wish it did that now. I was so excited when I read that.
Well,
Yeah,
and keep in mind, it still also gives you that 60% movement boost after you disengage.
Yes.
I can't tell you the number of times that I have disengaged only to be stunned or rooted or snared or ice blocked or whatever, something stupid, in the air and just drop like a rock. So now post-haste, assuming it takes effect, oh, that's a good question. Will it take effect when you trigger the ability or when you land?
It's probably going to take effect when you push the button.
Yeah.
I think, well, no, because the haste buff only hits when you land, I think. So in post-haste, the buff post-haste only hits you when you land, if I remember correctly. If that is the case, that'll be great, because then I'll disengage, you know, they'll root me, they'll go lol, 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 and then I'll land, and then I'll go troll, lol, 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 and just run the heck out of there.
I suspect it's going to take effect when you push the button. I haven't tested it, but I think what this is really meant to do is the rogue appears behind you, stuns you, slows you, whatever, castrates you, hamstrings you.
Yeah, that'd be a horrible ability
He's on your leg, just all this stuff. And then you hit disengage, and so you kind of bounce back your little 10 feet, and then you're like, I can barely move, and I have pee on me. And this way it's, okay, you're cleaned, you're disengaged.
Yeah, but then they shadow step you as soon as they land. So the trick would be to drop a trap. Anyways, whatever.
So it's disengage camo.
Yeah, no, disengage feign death and then camo. You can camo in combat now, right?
Yes, you can for 6 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
So this has become your PvP default talent for that tier, beating out?
Yes.
Hitting, and what's the other one? Narrow escape.
Ready? Well, yeah, it post haste is huge. I love what they've done. Part of me wonders, did they make it too tough for PvP, or are they okay with that? They're okay with there's a PvP choice.
I think they're okay with it, because right now BM has the same effect on their Bestial Wrath. I forget whether that's going away in beta, but... Okay, so, I mean, maybe it'll make hunters a little too slippery, but because we don't have a minimum range, it's like, you know, we'll have freedom of movement, but we won't need it anymore, except for the kite. You know, right now, freedom of movement allows us to deal damage effectively, as well as avoid it. And in the future, freedom of movement will just allow us to avoid damage. Like, right now, when I'm fighting a mage and he's too dumb to get in my face, I just stand there and shoot at him. I don't care what he does to me. I'll feign death to interrupt some things. I'll interrupt him with an actual interrupt if I can. Actually, one of my favorites is launching a trap to interrupt. They're just like, why, you know, they don't even move. Like, they don't even bother. They see the trap hitting them. Like, they see the trap being launched. It lands at their feet. They don't move out of the way. And then, you know, all of a sudden, interrupts a frostbolt or something. And I always laugh when that happens.
Well, actually, this is a perfect segue into some blue posts.
It is.
some hunters were complaining about dodge and expertise. And if you guys will recall, in Mists of Pandaria, our shots will be able to be dodged. They can be dodged even if you're shooting someone in the ass. So being behind doesn't affect dodge. Right now, our shots can't be dodged. And so in Mists, they can be dodged so we can get expertise, which will be simpler in Mists, that will reduce the chance that we can be dodged. In PvE, this isn't a big deal. There'll be an expertise cap, just like there's a hit cap. In practice, they'll work exactly the same way. We'll be capped on both, we'll never miss, we'll never be dodged. Life is good. In PvP, life is much harder, because there are certain classes that have substantially increased dodge, and they get a lot of dodge based on their agility, and their classes get lots of agility. Well, hunters dodge blows. But no, like druids and rogues. Druids and rogues get a much better... because every class gets a different amount of dodge per agility. The ratios are different. And every class has a different base dodge, and last time I checked, hunter's base dodge was negative. They did this going into Wrath because in BC, you know, people were doing their avoidance tanking and hunters were getting close to the because I think I actually tried this in Wrath once and I could get up to like an 80% avoidance. But anyhow, so they made it so for PvP, there's going to be some guys, and this is going to be feral druids and rogues, that are going to have substantially high dodges, and that means that even if you are expertise capped for a boss fight, every now and then, when you're shooting a rogue, you're going to miss. Yep. And so you're not going to miss, they're going to dodge. Like, you know, you shot in the right... Like, and a lot of people bitch about the suspension of disbelief, the thematic. Like, how are they going to dodge a bullet? That doesn't make sense. They're like, oh, you know, how is dodge different from miss? Either way, it's a miss. Well, first of all, as I read somewhere, which I think is the best way of describing WoW, this is a game that will send you dragons in the mail. So let's take that as our baseline about what's ridiculous. And quit your bitching.
Okay, hold on, guys. We found our show's title for today.
So at that point, the fact that somebody can go all Neo on your bullets doesn't seem like such a big deal.
No, it doesn't.
But so anyhow, the complaint in this forum thread was people like, okay, well, if our Chimera shot is dodged, it needs to refund its focus, or we're screwed. And if our Steady shot is dodged, we still need to get the focus back. And then they went further and said, and dude, oh my god, our Scatter shot and our Concussive shot, those need to be not dodgeable. Because we depend on those tools to survive in PvP. We can't kite without that.
Indeed. Ghostcrawler
responded to some of these points.
Did they take up our cause? Did they say, hunters, once again, you are so right?
No. he did say that shots that cost focus should give a partial refund when they miss. He said, if that's not happening, we'll fix it. Now, that's interesting wording, because you have to be... Because now you have to be very careful with how you word these discussions, because miss and dodge are two different things.
Goodness, that's never been the case. Missed shots, obviously nobody's dodging our stuff right now, but missed shots heck, even dodge melee abilities. If you walk up to someone and hit them with a raptor strike, you know, you don't, if it misses, you don't get your focus back.
Right. So I wonder. A, is this something that was supposed to be changed and missed? And B, does he really mean if it's dodged? If it's missed, screw you. That's your problem. If it's dodged, hey, maybe that wasn't your fault. Partial refund. We don't know what that partial should be. He further goes on to say that as a design philosophy, they don't think that Steady and Cobra Shot need to provide resources even when they miss or are dodged. And he said
that's probably the case against ice blocks or you know, anything else that would cause you to be able to shoot at something but not hit them. You know, like even 100 deterrencing, you don't get any focus from.
Right. And he specifically says, we're not going for design where hunters can be certain to always have maximum resource income in PvP. It's like, as long as they have enough focus, they'll be fine. And if we see evidence that they're focus-starved in PvP, we'll adjust accordingly. But
not by making all of our shots free if they get dodged.
Right, and not by making sure that you can just shoot steady shots at the air and regen your focus and always be at maximum focus regen.
I was going to say, because sometimes when I'm out of focus, I just want to, you know, stop what I'm doing, point my gun in the air, and just go...
in a way, you can do that. You just won't get focus for it. He says that, and then he goes on to say, there still hasn't been a ton of PvP testing on beta yet. There's been a lot of speculation, and while that's still...
Are the 90 pre-mades up yet?
No. This is breaking my heart because I can't do.
Why is he complaining about lack of PvP testing if you don't have a pre-made?
Well, and also
it's ridiculous.
Well, this is also what kills me about their call for the theory crafting, because I've been horrible about leveling and I hate leveling, and I haven't leveled to 90. So it's like, well, you know, I can't find out the base damage of anything. I can find out the coefficients. I can't find out how much, you know, I can't do any testing on the raid target dummy because I'm getting all glancing blows because I'm too low level. So I'm kind of like, dude, if you really want that, give us pre-mades, and then we can just go crunch numbers.
Yeah, and enable add-ons, because that's the other thing that would help the theory crafters too, is getting the recounts and those types of things. And add-ons are still not enabled, and they talked about that a little bit too.
Totally agree. But so, anyhow, he goes on to say, you know, that, hey, if Shred and Backstab, which is Rogue and Feral Druid abilities, were so reliable in PvP, because it's what everybody says, like, oh, Shred and Backstab are so awesome. And he's like, he basically says that's not the case. It's not something that they can always count on being able to do. And so he's basically saying the whole logic of melee can always attack from behind in PvP is overstated. And he says if hunters get close to hitting expertise caps, they should do fine even against agility users with high dodge chances. They won't do fine against a rogue that pops evasion, but evasion is intended as a survivability cooldown. Different class downs, different cooldowns, have different cooldowns and different durations. But he then points out, like, I don't know that rogues have a great counter for deterrence either. Yeah, they do. They disappear, wait for it to go away, and then they
put the stab to the throat and leg. Speaking of evasion, though, I really haven't been following rogues changes at all, but that's on live, and every time they use it, usually at like 5 or 10% health, I had to do as much work to get them down that last percent, even without a healer, as I had to do to get them there in the first place. I don't know what that thing does. Is it, what is it on life? Obviously, it's not dodge because they're not dodging, but I'm missing all the time.
Does it just increase their miss? You know, I'm just gonna go ahead and look it up.
That's just not, I should probably know. I'm not serious enough about PvP to
I'm just
going to laugh at people in battlegrounds, but.
So it increases their dodge chance by 50% and reduces the chance that ranged attacks hit the rogue by 25%. Oh my god!
So that's, I'll bet you anything that
much
changes.
Much tougher against us in mists, because right now it's just a 25% miss chance for ranged attacks. Now it's going to go up to 75%. It's going to be worse than.
Yeah.
Oh my god! They're double dipping. I wonder if they thought of that.
I don't know.
Right, because the melee guys get a 50% dodge chance to deal with. The range guys get 25%, but now we're going to have both!
Right.
We'll have to see what happens.
So,
next blue post that we have is about Powershot and Barrage, saying that we can probably skip this. Somebody noticed that there was a bug, and he said, yeah, that's a bug.
Yeah. similarly, I think we said this before, but it's worth saying again, and hey, Ghostcrawler finally came out and said it, so we have evidence, where people are complaining about the fact that they can't misdirect their pet.
Yeah.
And a lot of people very foolishly, despite the fact that there's still a glyph of misdirection, a lot of people thought that this was a deliberate change. And, you know, and we've been saying, like, it's a bug. Don't worry about it. It's a bug. And they're like, oh, it's horrible, and you're breaking hunter leveling, and it's the end of the world, and I can never, my pet can't hold aggro against anything. Ghostcrawler basically said, yes, it's a bug. And the bug has nothing to do with your pet. The bug is that something got screwed up, so misdirection only works if you're in a group. If you're in a group, you can misdirect to your pet, you can misdirect to someone else. If you're not in a group, you can't misdirect to your pet or anyone else. And so he's just said, yeah, that's a bug. It'll be fixed. PowerShot and Barrage have bugs. They'll be fixed. He also then comments that, Barrage, basically it's an implication that Barrage is going to get nerfed. You know, it's one of those Barrage is too good. And so that usually means it's going to be nerfed rather than everything else is going to be buffed. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one of them, someone did talk about Lynx Rush briefly, that he said, hey, if you have some data, he said, send it in on Lynx Rush, and they'd be interested to see.
I fully approve of this, right? This is the people like, oh my god, this is the end of the world, this ability is horrible. And the standard response is usually like, okay, well, you can say that, but give us some numbers, dude. So I'm glad to see them taking that approach a little more often now.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ollie has dug up some really interesting blue posts in addition to these from last week or the week before, this past week, when we didn't have a show. And a couple of these I think are worth talking about. And one of them and these aren't really hunter specific, but I think they're kind of interesting. And the one that I found most fascinating was some of the comments on passive damage. I'm just going to go ahead and read this to you and then talk about how weird I think this is. And they said that there are advantages and disadvantages of passive damage. Oh, and just so you guys know, passive damage is like, it's your white damage, right? It's our auto shot. It's the melee people's auto attack. It's the ranged casters, nothing. And so there's big discrepancies. And rogues are historically known for having huge passive damage because, you know, they have abilities that, like, increase their attack speed. And so their, you know, passive damage between that and their dot is this really substantial chunk of their DPS.
Well, if you're including dots, so you have to include Serpent Sting and all, you know, all the Warlock dots and stuff that you don't have to worry about.
Serpent Sting is absolutely passive damage. Excellent point. Because it's not like we have to reapply it when it goes down. We put it up once and our rotation takes care of it. So they say one of the big advantages of passive damage for us is it ensures that the best players can never move too far ahead of the worst players. It says it's fine if good players can do much higher damage than bad players, but it makes our lives very difficult if the best players do, say, 10 times the damage of bad players, given similar gear and everything else.
See, now that's the wrong way to say that. The right way to say that was, the problem is if the bad players can't even do a tenth of what they could be doing because there's no passive damage.
Well, then the next thing that they say is, I think, a really interesting sentence. We also like the differentiation we get from having classes with larger or smaller percentage of passive damage. As long as you can still improve your performance as your skill and gear increase, as you can with rogues, we think the system will work. Oh, it's funny that they call out rogues, because rogues are kind of known for this. But so the interesting thing they're saying here, right, is they're like, passive damage is this tool we have that ensures that bad players can still do some minimum threshold of DPS, right? So that we know if you have a bunch of bad players, you can still succeed in your Dungeon Finder queue.
Like your pet on defensive and auto-attack AFK?
Serpent Sting, and then, you know, they assume you'll do some amount of active damage, right? But that passive damage is sort of like, hey, the passive damage that you do and that I do and that Joe Schmo, who's never played a hunter before, do, it's all the same. So really, there's only a percentage of our damage that our skill is optimizing, and that's fine. But then they go on to say that they like the fact that some classes have larger or smaller percentage of passive damage, which basically means that there are absolutely classes where if you take a really, really horrible player, right, the kind of person that would normally play a Death Knight, take a really horrible player and playing a rogue, they're going to do much better DPS than they would, say, playing a hunter or a mage. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that Death Knight recruitment ad that you put on one of our early episodes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we should totally update that and do it again.
Yeah, I'll have to double check and make sure it didn't say anything about mana or something, because I bet you it did.
Yeah, I think I listened to it again, and I think it's at a date. Anyways.
I believe it is, too. I don't know.
Yeah, we could totally update that. Or the intent at one point was to try to make one for every class. I like the idea of like other classes coming to hunters and trying to recruit hunters to be in their class. Anyhow, yeah. So it is a design philosophy that the person who's you know smashing their head on the keyboard and whatever buttons happen, that you know what they're going to do, pretty horribly trying to play a feral druid. But if they're playing a rogue, maybe they'll do okay.
Okay, well, that's an interesting blue post as to the way that they look at things. I suppose they have to remember them. I'm sure that a lot of their paying valuable clients are really not going to be that good at this game, and there's a lot of people whose goal isn't to be able to do the highest amount of damage possible and get into a raid. Some people just like collecting pets, and they like to be able to not get killed by a lower level wolf that just happens across them in Goldshire. So
yeah, hold on a sec here. Do you think one other thing I want to quick bring up, just so that we can get some Q&A in, is that they have found there are going to be more new items in the game named after podcasters. Specifically, Scott Johnson and Dills, who are both hunters, are getting items, in-game items. And the Terpster, who is not a hunter, is also going to receive an item named after him in Mists of Pandaria. And according to all his info here, Scott is receiving the Hunter Perfect Arrow. Wow, that's kind of like a backhanded gift. It's like, hey, I'm going to give you something awesome. Oh, and I'm going to kick you in the balls because it's an arrow, which is for sissies.
Actually, that's...
Okay, maybe that's how you would
take it. I'm curious as to what it's going to be or what it's going to do. Is it more like a trinket type thing?
It's probably going to be a trinket, because the thing is that Scott has an ongoing thing that he does where he didn't sell off all of his now gray arrows and things. And if someone does something that he thinks is particularly worthy, he gives them one arrow, just kind of as a gesture of an award. And that's what this is about, playing off of GURPS' perfect arrow.
Okay. So Dills, who's apparently a hunter, is getting shaman pants. Wow, that's even more of a kick in the balls. I take it he also has a shaman.
Something like that.
He must.
And the Terpster is getting a tank shield. That's a good job for support class.
Well, huge congratulations to all three of you guys. So that's always awesome to hear about people getting items named after them.
Yeah, and it's great the instance is the huge podcast of the WoW community.
Is.
And I always think it's a great deal when the designers are sort of appreciating the community builders and hey, 2 out of 3 are hunters. I swear, I think hunters have more shit named after them in the game than any other class.
Well, we've had Scott on the show before. It was a long, long, long time ago, but he's been on the show precisely because he plays a hunter. That was one of the first times I ever nerded out talking to him. I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool.
And they've been around for a while. I mean, they've been doing their podcast since vanilla. Since before Burning Crusade, so it's long overdue.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And hey, I mean, we'll just keep racking that up in the hunter column.
Yeah.
Speaking of items, though, one thing, I don't know if we've talked about on the show, the potential for the legendary gun in the upcoming expansion.
I don't know how that managed to slip through our fingers.
It's because we missed last week's
show.
It's because we missed last week's show, I think.
I think it caught in your indiscriminate editing.
Yeah, no, it wasn't caught in my editing. So Mists of
Pandaria, there's going to be a legendary, and as far as I understand, it's going to be a choose-your-own legendary.
That's what some of the data mining seems to hint at or suggest.
Right.
It seems to be associated with this quest line that has been data mined that extends through multiple raid tiers.
So I like that idea.
Yeah, so this isn't something like, oh yeah, I'm going to get my my legendary by, you know, farming Molten Core over and over and over and over and over and over again to get Thunder Fury, or like more modern legendary is like, I'm going to raid and I'm a caster, so I just drown in them. Instead, it's going to be...
I have two. One of my alt, who is a healer.
Yeah. Instead, it's going to be something that you have to work your butt off for a long period of time. But the rough thing, and we don't know anything about how... We know it's going to be time-consuming in the sense that it extends across multiple tiers, but we don't know like how rare these drops are going to be that are required to get it. Except we did have some blue posts, you know, some months ago that were talking about like basically like, yeah, that Wrathfire Dragon Cannon, we kind of, what was it called? Dragon Flame. What was the caster legendary? You have two of them, your pretties.
Oh, no, I was kidding. They're Taragosa's Dragon's Rest or whatever.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So that thing, they basically said, like, yeah, it was a mistake to make it available to so many classes, and it was a mistake to make it so easy to get, that there were too many of them.
Didn't we make, like, five or six Dark Brew in our 25-man?
We have at least three. I don't know if we have that. Maybe.
We inherited one from somebody who came in from another guild.
I mean, we got two of the Rogue Daggers, too, as well, expansion. So, I mean, they didn't that one much more difficult, I don't think.
So,
on the third one.
So, yeah.
I just hope they make the new ones faster for 25s, because I'll tell you what, 25s and 10s right now, there's no competition. 10s are easier, 10s are faster, 10s are, you know, you can progress farther with less gear or less skill. There is no advantage at all. There's no incentive at all to doing 25s unless you happen to like the format. And that means that anybody who likes progression more than they like 25s is going to go to a 10. So if they made the legendaries faster in 25s, that would be nice.
Well, here's the scary thing. There was even a blue post a while ago that like implied like one route they might go with legendaries would be the kind of thing that like, yeah, you work at a legendary for a whole raid tier and... You know, it'll be more like Thunder Fury, where like, yeah, you work at the legendary for a whole raid tier, and oh, you didn't get your drops. That the luck aspect would basically put back into it, and that's kind of brutal when you combine it with, you know, your raid has to choose who's going to get to go after this legendary.
Yeah,
it's
going to
take multiple tiers, and it could be any class.
That's the challenge. That's the only thing I like about it with sort of the more narrow approach, like with the rogues. I mean, it was very easy for us to decide who was going to get it, even to some extent with the staff from Firelands. It wasn't that difficult for us to figure out who was going to get it now.
Right. It was basically whichever rogue agreed to tricks of the trade to you, right?
Yeah.
Well, the problem is we only had a couple of rogues that even played actively. So we ended up giving our first one to the obvious candidate, and the second one, they just went to the other rogue, and he doesn't actually play that much. He's got a very busy schedule, and he's kind of casual about raiding, but, you know, he's got them. He didn't have to do anything except show up a little bit more frequently than he usually does.
And so some people have been speculating. I don't know how true this is. I think it's truer in culture than it is in math, but some people are like, oh, yeah, great. If it really is difficult, really difficult to get, and anybody's available for it, they're like, yeah, nobody's going to ever give it to a DPSer. It's all going to go to the flipping healers and tanks, which are all seen as so much more valuable.
No, I don't see that. Strong DPS are more valuable than people realize. If you're in a guild that is lucky enough to be on a server that has a huge talent pool with which to recruit from, and you still manage to aggregate most of that talent into your guild, then yes, DPS, if everybody's got high DPS, that's awesome. That means DPS is commonly good. However, 99% of the guilds and 99% of the servers out there are not in that situation. Even if you have the people to fill your raid, which is getting harder and harder, every single class just about can DPS. Every single class can DPS. It's you know, you can fill at the bottom end of your raid quite easily, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that good DPS are any less valuable than good healers or good tanks.
Actually, I would argue that good DPS, I think, is actually a little more important. Not saying that, you know, you never want an incompetent or bad, but you know what? I would rather have great DPS and competent tanks than great tanks and competent DPS. Semicolon, however, comma. Let me just stress something you just said, Euripides, which is good DPS is more valuable than most people realize. And that's the point. Most people put the strain on like, oh, we're having problems. you know, we want...
got to be the tanks or the healers.
We want better tanking and better healing to compensate, and that's the first point of focus, not the DPS.
Yeah. Well, that's their fault then and their mistake, because, you know, if they have an amazing...
We're paying the price for it, and by we, I mean all hunters who clearly deserve their legendary gun.
Well, I don't think so. I think...
Wait.
What?
Did you just say that all hunters don't deserve a legendary gun? Did you just say that?
That wouldn't make them legendary. And no, what I said is that any guild who is run incompetently enough to not recognize the simple fact that, you know, good DPS, you know, an increase in the strength of an amazing DPS is as important as an increase in strength to an amazing healer. Any guild that can't recognize that is probably not going to be that well run anyway, so it doesn't really matter. They're not going to get the legendary.
I mean, the good news is for us is that Euripides does not run the guild, so obviously the first two hunter guns are going to go to him and I, and then we'll figure out what other hunter after that.
I thought you were about to say the first two guns are going to me and then my alt, because you've got so many hunter guns.
Well, that's true. We could do that, too. Either way.
I'm just going to throw something out here, Euripides. I'm going to throw some logic at you.
Logic?
Yes, and my logic is going to say that... When your guild starts going for the legendary, you need to give it to Dark Brew first. And here's why.
From the fact that he raids every week.
Well, aside, but you know, you got plenty of other people that raid every week. But aside from that, you know that if there's any random element to it, and Dark Brew's the recipient, it'll drop.
You know what? Maybe I'll say really loud and vent and even type it into Raid Warning that Dark Brew is going to be getting the first one, and the game will think that it's rolling for Dark Brew, and then whoever we actually choose to get the gun or the legendary ends up getting it. That would only work until it realizes that we don't give the first one to them. So never mind. You're right. If I want to take advantage of Dark Brew's ridiculous, illogical, completely... devoid of reproducibility in a scientific world, luck, then we will have to give it to him first.
What's the drop rate on that Deathwing mount?
That's going to give you the best odds of getting multiple ones for your raid, is giving the
first
one to Dark Brew.
The first one to Dark Brew will take about a week, and then the rest of them.
Like, does anyone know what the drop rate is on the mount off of Deathwing? Because I haven't gotten it yet, but I think our guild has... I've seen it drop like 3 or 4 times now.
When you're there. Only when you're there. And also, not only that thing, but you know that Girthalag Voice of the Deep, the big tentacle spawning?
I was shocked to hear that's actually hard to get for some of these classes.
Everybody else is like, oh my god, it's so rare. And every time you raid, 3 of them drop. Yeah. Every single time. So every single hunter, and we have a lot of hunters, every single hunter in our guild has at least one. I have 2. I just felt I should bring that up. We should do some listener Q&A, because we haven't heard any ideas about the song yet. We've got 4 minutes.
Actually, I think if they do the cross-server rating, Dark Brew is going to be really in demand in Vista Pandaria.
Oh, yeah.
So, how many nights a week can you raid Dark Brew?
Well, as many as there are queues, right?
You know. That's right. If they're paying for like the real friend ID thing, hey, I'm available.
So do you guys want to do some listening Q&A?
Let's do some listening Q&A.
I think it behooves us to do so.
So, that's right, Euripides can't. He's the one calling. He can't read any of these. So, Turtle
Hunter
asks. He says, "Can you ask the guys why SVAOE?" is the lowest of the 3 specs. Did they nerf Serpent Sting or the extra damage we get from Toxicology? Now, is that for the live game, or are you talking about Mists of Pandaria?
Yeah, this came up in Mists of Pandaria. There was a discussion where Blizzard basically acknowledged, like, yeah, you know, SV, AOE, you know, probably needs some help. I also thought it was interesting. I mean, to answer the question, I'm pretty sure Toxicology does not exist in Mists of Pandaria, right? So you're not getting the damage boost from the Sting, semicolon, however, comma. They are... you're effectively getting it because, well, not exactly, but they're letting the crits do 200% damage, whereas then they do 150% damage for Serpent Sting takes on live, and so Toxicology just brings it to the 200% that physical damage normally does. But it's a really good question because SV still has, you know, a lot of its AoE tools, but yeah, the it's interesting because I haven't done any math on AoE yet at all. So I have like zero data on this. I've only been doing, you know, the standard single target stuff and, you know, reverse engineering coefficients and stuff. So I'm also curious. I mean, we know that BM got Beast Cleave, which is
right.
awesome. And it also, you know, that combos with, you know, your big red pet, right? But yeah. Marksmanship still just has their, you know, multi-shot barrage, which actually got a little worse.
Well, marksmanship has always been, not always, but, you know, since they made the changes, the weakest on AoE. Survival, you know what, they're gonna probably adjust all of them on the fly, but I suspect they'd be okay with BM taking the first spot on AoE damage.
And it's worth saying that BM for a long time has had the best burst AoE,
mm-hmm.
but the fewest number of players who can successfully execute it, because it's
yeah,
hard.
But we,
right?
But
survival AoE is press multi-shot.
We had several world first top hunters in the world who mentioned that your logic may be correct, but in practice, it's not actually the way that it can be made to work. That any perceived potential advantage on BM, even if, like, who was it? Was it Kriparian who said he wasn't able to make it equal to more than survival?
Well, let me correct you a little bit. It's
I don't remember that very well.
World top hunters who agreed that yes, BM had the best burst AoE semicolon however comma they could. Because of the way their cooldowns worked, they couldn't do it every time the adds come out on any fight. Mm-hmm. And that was the problem, right?
So they had the lowest AoE damage, but the highest AoE burst.
Right, because, you know, if you can get your, you know, your big red pet combined with your worm or chimera doing its AoE combined with multi-shotting, which keep in mind, during big red pet, your multi-shot is just as good as marksman's. So if you combine all of, because it's half price, if you combine all of those together, you get this huge burst, but the next time the mobs spawn, you don't got all those abilities. Mm-hmm. And so you can only do it like every other. Can you actually line it up?
Fair enough. We should probably go on to the next one, because I want to get at least more than one done.
Sure. JC Sway says, the song should be about the All Hunter raid. I have no question.
Well,
I like that about the. It could just be a song about hunter solidarity, about you know.
The lyrics could be poetically expressing our lack of need for any other class. You know,
exactly.
Support classes are good for support, but we don't need them. Yeah, I could kind of see that actually. That's a good one, JC.
I like that idea.
Support classes. Fair enough. Fair enough.
All right. Thank you. Next.
The last one, it's from Woody9212. He doesn't have a question either, but he says for the song, he says, I think the song should be an ode to Swamp Lord Musilek, and he's the only hunter to successfully tame a druid. And he's the third boss in the Underbog. I've forgotten all about him, but he's absolutely right.
Well, yeah.
He totally.
Yeah, that's. We could try and encompass the two of them. We could have like a hunter only raid on him, or where we invite him. Oh, no, we won't take him because he has a feral druid with him.
Absolutely, yeah, we can. It's got to be completely separate.
The other option is that you could do a song about Sylvanas, because she's a hunter.
But she's a horde, so I don't see that happening.
So?
Well, hey. this is an Alliance podcast. Don't forget that.
Wait, no, this is a hunter podcast.
Okay, well, whatever I'm doing.
I feel the need to remind you, since you're the one who's saying hunters don't deserve a legendary gun.
That's not what I said at all.
I think that's pretty much what you said, reading between the lines.
I think you're full of it. You guys want to do our outro?
Full of love for hunters.
I just want to say that Sylvanas' voice, I think, would work well in a song.
Oh, you're saying Sylvanas' voice or Michelle Morrow's?
Well, you know, the reverb.
we'd have to ask your audio guy about that. I think reverb is something that they tend to hate, burn with fire. But
I think most real musicians consider reverb to be something that people who can't sing do to make themselves sound less crappy.
We could do survival or auto-tune or something like that.
And I think we can talk to Michelle and be like, "Hey, Michelle, can you sing?" And I strongly suspect her answer is going to be, "No way in hell will I ever sing."
We did ask her before, and no, she can't.
Yeah, there we go.
All right. Anyways, you have been listening to episode.
Or maybe we can get her to do like some kind of like intro, some kind of like story, like speaking in the voice of Sylvanas, and Sylvanas can be all like, "I'm a hunter, but I wish I was a dwarf." Because then I would have actually been able to kill Arthas, which I failed to do throughout my entire storyline because I'm a failure.
Ouch. You totally cut off my outro there, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyways. You guys have been listening to episode 100.
I'm just saying, I think that would be a cool thing to slip in.
Frost, I'm a jerk. Of the Hunting Party Podcast, this is Euripides from OTPS, Well Insider, and Call to Auction.
And I'm Dark Brew from thebrewhall.com and The Brew Hall on Twitter.
And this is Frostheim from Warcraft Hunters Union, WoW Insider, and Frostheim WHU on the Twitters.
And I'm Alexander from the Hunting Party Podcast.
So we're on iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, and if you don't use any of those, we have regular links on the show notes.
And if you like us, please don't be shy about leaving us a review on iTunes, or even, you know what, screw iTunes. We got plenty of reviews there. Leave us some nice comments on YouTube, especially one where you mention how uncommonly good-looking Frostheim is.
You can submit a title for this week's show by emailing us at huntingpartypodcast@gmail.com and have your name mangled on air.
Stay thirsty, my friend. Stay thirsty, my friends. Remember to drink your dark blue lager.
Don't forget to spare and neuter your feral druid. Hello, Valley.
Wait, I thought there was supposed to be a Frostheim.
Yeah, he's lost. Deathwing is a spore bat, and then he says it.
Oh, I don't know how anyone expects to get any work done around here if we don't have any ale. Our beer level here in the podcast is dangerously low.
And on that note, don't forget to pay your dues by sending us beer.
Yeah, and as for the name, I'm going to be pretty hard-pressed to not name this thing. This is a game that mails us dragons.
We get dragons in the mail.
Dragons in the mail.
I just want to say one thing before I got to go. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, Ustream, could you possibly pack in any more commercials?
Yeah, we were talking about that. We totally want to. As soon as I get a chance, I'm going to go and see if I can figure out a way to make it to switch over to Google and embed it there, so that way we can just kick Ustream in the pants and never ever look back.
Right. So the idea, by the way,
I know we've discussed it, but for those, it is really getting bad.
Yeah. For those listening, if we do make the switch to using a Google Hangout for the podcast, your experience of listening to the podcast will be no different. You'll come to this page. Podcast. Actually, the only difference might be we might have some like video still shots on the video, because it'll show, like, you know, you kind of see who's talking and their like little icon will pop up or something, because I don't think any of us actually have webcams. But hey, I got a funny story for you. So like, shoot. Every now and then I get emails about something that I had never really thought of, and I'm like, holy crap, I wonder how many people are out there thinking the same thing but didn't bother emailing me. And I got a disturbing one of those where somebody's like, "Hey, I've been reading your site and I really like it. And, you know, I got this question for you, and I'm wondering if you can have answers to this kind of question. Like, yeah, I saw on your site, you know, that it's about, you know, for hunters who have paid their dues. And so I assume you have to sign up to subscribe to actually, you know, pay dues in order to get the information. But I was wondering, you know, is there a place that you have this that's not in a paid area?" And I was like, "Oh, God."
Ouch. No, well, I remember when you started, you explicitly said you defined what paying your dues is, and you mocked people who tried to have paid portions of their website, if I remember correctly.
I don't think I mocked people who had paid portions of their website, but I...
Maybe that was just me.
I think I was just, you know, paying your dues. Yeah, I had never, ever considered that interpretation of, you know, a gathering place for hunters who have paid their dues. And not to mention, there's also the fact of, like, except... if you look at the site and poke around a little, it should be really obvious. You could just go anywhere in the site and there's no, like, paid area.
Although, yeah, but if somebody hears that there's a paywall, they're going to want to find out where it is. And if they can't see, if it's not clear and obvious, they're worried that, you know, you ever search for a technical question and one of the first links that comes up is Answers Exchange or some Experts Exchange or something like that. And it's always useless. Like the answer is like almost completely there, but it's like covered in crap and they want you to log in and pay them for it. And you're like, what the hell is this? You just, you know, try and find it someplace else.
Yeah,
that's what people are worried about. Experts Exchange has ruined the concept of asking Google a question for millions of people. that's probably what was driving this guy. He's just like, I don't want to find your paywall. I don't care what you put on this side or that side. I'm just saying, you know, what is a hunter hit cap?
Well, I think it might also be, I just realized, because it's a WordPress thing, like, you could log in, right? You can log in and then you can
download. Well, that's the other thing that he's probably worried about. And he sees some commenters have dues payers, which, by the way, I'm still not. You're a jerk.
Does that still happen? I thought that I lost that.
I don't know.
I think that went away when I changed the theme. I didn't read. It was ridiculously complicated to make that happen. And I didn't do it all over
again. It looks like it.
But no, you can log in and you have to subscribe, right? Create a WordPress account and log in. And I think the only advantage of that is then you can get a dashboard and see all the latest comments, regardless of what article they were on. Mm-hmm. But so I think, you know, he's probably like, oh, there's a login, but I would have to sign up. I bet you have to pay for that. And I'd never considered that.
Did somebody say something funny in chat?
Yeah, they're like, expert sex change? What?
Experts Exchange. If you Google search something like how I add DNS server to domain, what you'll find is probably some Experts Exchange ripoff of Stack Exchange answering you how to do just that. And it's really frustrating and annoying. And the Stack Exchange websites as a group were basically, I think they came around after these guys just to make sure that if anybody really did have a valid, you know, answer to a question, they would have a community to do it, which wasn't built by douchebags.
Well, yeah, the other thing with the Experts Exchange, right, is if I recall, because this actually came up within the SEO world, because they're technically basically doing things that...
Cheating lying bastards?
Well, they're doing things that are against Google's webmaster guidelines. They're basically cloaking. They're showing Google one thing, but not showing that to the users. But as I recall, it's not like they're a service that answers all these questions. It's like, no, it's like, ask a question.
They skim forums.
Right. And we'll get, you know, we'll just grab some other person's answer and then, but make you pay to get it.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. Anybody,
I would be okay with it if it was like, yes, we have a staff of experts, and for, you know, a buck, we'll answer your question. Fair enough. I'll go elsewhere.
I
but
would still
enough.
Not be okay. Yeah, exactly. I would still not be okay with that. I mean, they could offer it as a business plan, but I would never buy it. Anyways, that said, that's enough for real life for one day. I've got to go and I don't know if you heard the little Tyke stomping around screaming and playing drums.
Sure did. She wants her table back every day.
Yeah, she wants her table back every Saturday. Daddy takes her table away, and he's just so angry. But yeah, so I'm gonna go take care of that.
All right, and actually, I got Balthazar on his way over, where we will be talking about Hunter songs, and we will probably be filming a video. And I don't know. Should I tell people what's actually happening?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. So, yes, tell me.
Okay, well, as you know, the issue is Balthazar doesn't actually play WoW. Mm-hmm. And his full-time employment is freelance sound design and music stuff. And so he was basically like, yeah, I can't really keep doing these things without getting paid. Because they take enough time that I actually have to turn work down. And so I was like, no problem. We'll do a Kickstarter. We'll do a Kickstarter to make another Hunter song, and you know what? If it's, like, you tell me what your time is worth, if it's worth it for the Hunters, great. If you know what? If they're all like, oh, dude, yeah, that's not worth paying money for, fair enough, it's not worth paying money for.
Oh, that's a good idea. You'll have to give me the link. That said, I have to go.
Bye. All right, see you next week.
All right, thanks for coming. We'll see you guys next week. Jump shot, BM, MM, and SB.
traps, in my traps. I never miss, cause I am hip capped. Cause I'm the hunter, not the marked. I'm the fighter, not the spark. Now let's begin with Illidan, Osirian, and Kil'jiden, Magdemar, Ascalor, Gruul, C'Thun, and Razorgore, Onyxia to Ragnaros. Which one have we killed the most? Kel'Thuzad to Maligos. We even killed Akama's ghost. Sapulon, Lucifer, Sulfuron, Archimon, Amon.